All right. I'm so thankful that none of you ran away. You're still here for this second session. And for those of you who are joining on live stream and you didn't hear the first session, we just briefly thumbnail defining. There's an extension off of the concept of circumcision that is always necessary in preparing yourself for the new terrain God is bringing you into. And we're looking at a particular derivation of the word that is readily used to describe being pared down to be sensitive to the Lord. And that term is gula, and it speaks about a basin, something that has been carved out and expanded so that you can be of service to God in a way that is really an honor beyond anything that any of us could conceive. We talked about our identity as a person from Ecclesiastes. We talked about the tops of the pillar of the temple. And today, in this session, we're going on to page 2 of the outline, and we're looking at the heading, "Who are you? Who art thou, great mountain?" So here's Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 1. "The angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of his sleep." You just touch on that for a moment. Sometimes the things of the Lord in these deeper measures of revelation, Daniel experienced this, several others did, it can create a not a lethargy, but it's almost like the weightiness is so strong that you need a measure of invigoration. And when the angel comes and stirs this, it's not that this guy was sawing logs and offering Wesalalia. It's not that. It's just that there was a quickening. And we need that, don't we? I've experienced that, and I know many of you have. There have been so many times over the years when I've been studying or writing, and suddenly I'll sense a door opening, usually to the left of me, and there'll be an impartation, and I know that it's an angelic impartation from the Lord, and suddenly things make sense. Maybe some of you need that while I'm preaching. You need an angel behind you to suddenly make things make sense. So anyway, Zechariah's had this angelic impartation, and the angel says in verse 2, "What do you see?" And I said, "I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl on the top of it." This is G-O-L. And if your Wally was here, you know, when you watch football in South America, if somebody scores, this one guy says, "Goal!" He says it real long. He says, "Goal." And I wonder if they got that word from this. It's a basin that you're trying to plant the pelota into. I don't know. But it's G-O-L, but this is from gula. It's really a noun form of gula. And there are 7 lamps thereon, 7 pipes to the 7 lamps which are upon the top thereof, and 2 olive trees beside it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side thereof. So I answered, and I spoke to the angel that talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" And the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, "Don't you know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." And again, that's another illustration of so often the angels will offer an interrogative to you. They'll ask you a question which really kind of whets your intellectual capacity to hunger for the answer. So angels aren't just saying, "Do you know what these are? What does this mean?" They're trying to stimulate the capacity of your spirit to receive that revelation. It's not that they're trying to say, "Well, don't you know anything, you dummy?" You know, it's not that kind of thing. And this is just a nuance of angelic interaction. So then the angel answers, verse 6, and says, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you will become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, 'Grace, grace unto it.' Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, his hands also shall finish it. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you, who has despised the day of small things. They shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. Yesterday we saw that that plummet is in the hand of Adonai. With these seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Verse 11. Then I answered and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. And he said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by Adon of the whole earth. Now, I put in parentheses there that the two anointed ones are literally sons of the oil, or oil sons, and that stand, their position to serve Adonai on behalf of the earth. So what does this mean? You've got this candlestick in heaven, which is indicative of the seven spirits of the Lord. And somehow God, in his magnificent love for us, has ordained that we would serve as those that would become the purveyors of oil, to be pressed, the essence of who we are being pressed, and that fills this goal through the gula of our life that's at the top of the candlestick. And from that, that oil then is distributed downward into the burnings of the seven spirits. And I found a lot of pictures of this in the depiction. It's golden, you know, of course, so that it's faith. And of course, we know those seven lamps are the seven spirits. They're God. And this is just a depiction. So our human mind, even though God created it for this stuff, could grasp in a functional manner what this really is. So that basin where our pressing and the oil through our willingness to be pressed out, it fills this goal, this gula. And then that oil then serves the burning of the seven spirits of God. That is precious, isn't it? That is precious. So if your oil is going to go into this candlestick, it's got to go through the process of gula. Do you see that? You've got to be willing to allow God to refine, and that only comes through serving him. I can't lay hands on your head and refine you. You can't go to a seminar and have 50 people give you cassette tapes or CDs or whatever they're selling now and make you refined. That only comes through the process of you being contrite and you being willing. And perhaps this measure of understanding from the scripture whets your spiritual appetite to say, here am I, Lord, use me. I suspect that so many of you have already been facilitating this process. So in the context of what is said here, we know the story of Zerubbabel. We know that he and Joshua were the ones that were initiating the process after the 70 years of the people returning back to Jerusalem. And we know that Joshua is there before the throne of God, and the enemy is contesting. Have any of you been being contested by the enemy? And the angel is interjecting, you know, this is, you don't touch them, this is the Lord. And, you know, yeah, Joshua's got filthy clothes. Who doesn't? But at any juncture, God's wanting the garments of the warrior have to be stripped off by the Lord, and they're burned as an offering. He's not saying, how'd you, not like some, what's a good word? some mothers who would say,
how'd you get your clothes so dirty? What's wrong with you? Why were you over there? I see that smudge.
That's not what God's saying. The fact that you're there is the fact that you've triumphed. And now there's a new garment being put on. All of that was there. And so he says these stem winders that we've all looked at, not by power, but by my spirit, shouting, grace, grace, who art thou, great mountain? You know, all these things that we've talked about, but the onus of all of it is that we're serving the seven spirits of God, and that somehow God, through his love for us, allows us to serve the right and the from the right and from the left. There's that chapiters again of the two pillars. And that joint effort supplies that bowl, that ghoul of oil. And that then fuels the ways of God, the burning of his seven spirits. Only God could do that. You know, this afternoon we'll talk about how the incense, which we've studied over and over again. There's wonderful insights there, but we're going to study about heightened applications of incense. But God allows us the privilege, the prayers of the saints, to supply that and then to combine with the incense that God himself generates. What a beautiful picture. And those coalesce, they come together in the very end, in those verses that we read, usually during times when people are trying to predict when Jesus is coming back and who the Antichrist is. If you just spent 1% of the time trying to say, how can I serve God in this, instead of wasting time on all that nonsense. You know, I don't know how many of those things I've heard and been a part of in my brief lifetime, and every one of them was wrong. Every one of them. And you know, at the end of it, you'd say, I read this book that I bought many years ago. It's a wonderful book by a professor at Harvard, back when Harvard was actually doing something noble, and it was called When Time Shall Be No More. And it went through the last 200 years of different groups that thought Jesus was coming back in the next 10 years, and the goofy things they did. It's really a good book. I need to read it again. But the point, though, is that this God allows us to supply oil, and God allows us to supply incense, and God allows us to be functional on the top and on the base of the pillars of the temple. These are privileges that God offers to us. And that is such an honor, isn't it? It's such an honor. You know, this isn't being written, I've said this a million times, on some stone I found under a tree in the backyard. Some moron angel wrote. This is the scripture. And it's built upon principles that we've learned together from the scripture. And so here is this angel talking to Zechariah with the fulfillment of prophecy. And I think as important as this was, how much more are the days where we're living, where the end of all things is nigh? And you say, well, I don't believe it's nigh. Well, it's nigher than it was then. How about that? How nigh do you want to be? So, two sons of oil, sons of the oil, those who are expert, trusted under in the familial strategy. And you can look this up, you can look at it yourself, look at the words, it's what it says. And so I love this. So now the end, we were talking about water, and one of the favorite ones that we've had the privilege of looking at many times is our old buddy Caleb. I am as strong today as I was 40 years ago. Here he is, 80 plus years, and he's going to take this spiritual mountain where kings were going to be anointed and where giants lived, and he's knocking them down and taking names, and you know, he's having a great time. So, but here is this story of his daughter and what she asks for. So let's look at it. John 15, verse 17. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, brother of Caleb, took it and gave him Aksa, which means ankles, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, and Dance, do you feel better? And Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? Who answered, give me a blessing, Baraka. Give me this promotion, for you've given me a south land. Give me also springs, Gula, of water. And he gave her upper Gula and nether Gula. Wow. So we can poetically look at this. And you know, if your daughter's named Ankles, you know, you remember that the word ankles was water to the ankles, and Baraka, you know, one of the words, the word for lightning is a derivative of Barak, which means that when you're getting a blessing, you're there as the sons of God, as lightning in the quiver, his arrows in his quiver, and he's going to commission you to do something amazing. These are power words that are here in this. And what she asked for is, she says, you've given me land in the south. Now, south really represents, in this equation, the earth. But give me upper Gula, and he gave her upper Gula and nether Gula. So what does this mean for us? This is obviously water. She's got a parcel of land, but she's asking for a blessing, water to the ankles, as it were. And her father's going to give it to her, but he's giving her the Gula supply from the upper and the Gula supply to spread out. And I think that for us, this is really a picture of what God's offering us. We're established in places where the Lord has planted us. We're established here on the earth. We're blessed. God has given us the power of the cross, the tap, the histemes. We are standing with him. We're asking for the kingdom to come. We're doing all these things. But I think with this timely Rhema revelation, we're before the Lord and we're asking him to ignite the Gula supply of water from above. And we're asking for the Gula supply of water in the nether reaches. The nether really means the expanse outward, and that's where the nation Netherlands comes from, because it at that time when it was being named by people who weren't in Netherland, it was speaking of lands that were unknown, lands that were going to be explored, lands that were going, it was like the pioneer days as civilization was expanding. So that's why they call it, you know, the Netherlands. And the nether reaches, we use sometimes in Old English. But this is really saying, here, give me this mountain. This guy has paved the way. And he has taken, bound the strong man. And now this Hebron is beginning to be populated by the Spirit. And here comes one of his children. And asking for a baraka, asking for a blessing. You've given me this parcel, but I need really, in order to thrive, I need something more. And I think we would all say this. In order to thrive, what we've been talking about, we need this Gula capacity. We need the waters of heaven. We need the waters from above in the upper Gula. And when God releases those, we'll also be able to access the nether Gula. Wherever God would lead us for expansion. And this hidden passage that we will often just read about. You have to remember who Caleb was. Caleb was somebody who said, nobody else wants to do this. Give it to me. He tried to do it earlier, and those in the rest of the tribe said, no, 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 we're not doing that. God said that Caleb had another spirit. Remember that? Aher. A spirit that was focused upon those things that God had promised and that was begging for a measure of partnership to fulfill. And I believe that we have been given that spirit. It should be the spirit of all of God's people, where we want as saints to see God's purpose fulfilled. And we want God to do what he wants to do, not only here, but in the heavens as we serve him there, which we've been seeing on this sheet, all these gula capacities in the heavens. But we also want to say to the Lord, where do you want us to go? How do you want us to serve you, to make disciples of this, to the nether gulas, to those places that we've never been to, those places that are expanding outward? And we go there not to just expand the ministry, to make people think we're doing something, but to show those ones in the valley of Baca how to create a well themselves and how to become the elders, the ones with the ayin, who would then know how to tap those wells and then to establish some of the things that you're going to be seeing in the prayer words today and tomorrow from our brothers and sisters in South America who are speaking about the waters of life and the pillars of God. We haven't taught on that yet there. Well, we talked about water to some degree. We've not talked about pillars there. And they're seeing them, which then makes it easy to say, let us tell you what that means from the Word. Let us do some splaining from the Scripture. And because they've seen it, God is wanting them to have that hunger satiated, to know this is that which is spoken, like Peter said, this is that which was spoken of by Joel. And we can say, this is that which was spoken of here and here and here, and this is your calling. That's the nether gula. And so, and that mountain is a very spiritual place. Perhaps there are a lot of spiritual places in that those biblical lands, but this one was really the apex for what the kingdom would be, because, you know, giants were there, but then kings were anointed there. Witches had used it. Remember, we studied about this. The very term that describes that main city of anointing kings was also used for the twisting and curses. And so we're particularly going into places where the enemy has corrupted, he's deceived people, in many places uncontested for a long period of time. But God sends us there, the nether gula. We need this. And Caleb, through the auspices of the Holy Spirit, was more than happy to bless his daughter who made the request. And from there, then, there was a functional visitation of the Spirit. I am so very grateful for the way that the Lord has opened doors for us as saints. And in not a very long period of time, we're going to be going back to the city of this mom and daughter, Lyon, which is one of the initial places that God allowed us to go and to establish Saints Network. And I remember doing a lot of spiritual warfare in regard to Lyon, and I've just been given a book en français about Lyon, the history, and I cherish this. I'll be praying over this. But we'll be going back there in May, and there's a church that has opened themselves, and they're praying even now for the reception, and these dear girls are praying, and intercessors are praying, people that we love and trust. And we engaged in a lot of really strange spiritual warfare over the decades there, and I know these ones have offered themselves to the Lord and battled and suffered a lot of challenges. But God is faithful, and he's not forgotten. And it's this city is such a resource in the spirit realm. It's dynamic. It's been heavily contested over the generations, but it's been originally called a city of light, and it truly is going to indicate the light of the Lord. And so the Nether Gula, we're going to see something explosive happen there in the spirit realm. And so I'm so grateful. And we only have Brother Fallon here, and God has taken him on a very curious pathway, but we all have known and loved him over the years, and we know the burden that God has placed in his heart for not only Nigeria, but so many nations in his prayer and fasting network that God has allowed him to establish. God is not finished. Yeah, sometimes it takes a while, but God is faithful to his word. So this dear woman uses this really curious word, and it goes back to that bosom that we were talking about, the bay, as it were, of water. She's asking for the upper, well, her father gives her the upper and the nether gula. She already had the south. You know, we could just stand here and think, oh, well, we're not going anywhere. We're just happy. We're under the spout where the glory comes out. We're just going to stay here. And that doesn't work real well, because God created you to be those that make disciples in all nations. And when this gospel of the kingdom is preached through all the world for a witness, then shall the end come. And that's what we're working diligently to partner with the Lord in. I'm not saying we're the only people. I would not say that. But I do believe in the mission that God has given us, and he's given us the best. I mean, how much better can you get by giving us our French-speaking allies in those powerful places that have shape the course of Western civilization? God's not finished. God's not finished. Those spiritual deposits have had an impact from the Renaissance to the Reformation and on, but the biggest visitation is yet to come. And God has given us this place in South America where he has told us prophetically the main battalions, the main armies of the saints in the end times are going to be raised up. And you can see the desperation of the cry of the Spirit to raise those people up and train them. And they're passionately seeking it. But this message of the gula and the goal, whether it is fulfilling our function as humans to the apex capacity that God has created us to know, before our life on this earth is over, to function I don't want to say something that's not what I mean, but at the top of the pillars of the temple, where all that activity is happening right now for the earth, to be able to function as supplying the oil for by God's choice for the seven spirits of God in heaven, and to be able to function in give me this mountain type of facility, where we're equipping people wherever they're planted as the Spirit leads us to tap into the upper gula and the nether gula for expansion. And you know, you think about that, the power words in the scripture we've studied about. This is the way God moves. We're from his throne. He initiates us as sons in our points of intercession to partner with the angelic there in the temple of the tabernacle, whether it's the Iscris angels or the Archae, as you would call them. And then we gain in a measure of exousian authority to go into the nations, and we facilitate the dunamis, the function. And then as that function then is being known and developed, the function of people's identities, the function of the places where they're planted through the power of the cross and the direction of the Holy Spirit, then the megas comes, and there's a spread. And that's what Jesus said, greater works than these will you do. That's the megas, than what I did, because I go to my Father. And what he was talking about was, you will spread this thing that I have now made possible for you. And I'm praying for you continually that you will do that, to glorify your Father which is in heaven. And you will be, if you're faithful, measures of sons, yes, and heirs, yes, and joint heirs with me. And I think that we'll talk about this a little this afternoon, but the reason that the Lord is so prevalently walking among us right now, I know that he's always with us. He never leaves us, forsake us. I can quote those verses just like you. But I've been around here a long time now, and I don't remember a time where I have been aware of the Lord walking in this place with the... It's every day. You know, when we were going to Brazil this last trip, I was praying, others were praying, and I was asking the Lord, Father, we need to accomplish what you're sending us there to do. Having a seminar there for the first time, a seminar, talking about these elemental things. We have to have your presence. We have to have, and I sincerely meant that, we have to have your presence, or otherwise these words will fall on deaf ears. And I remember just as clearly as I am standing here right now what happened next. It was like 3:30 in the morning. Sondra hadn't even woken up yet. And maybe the ripples of this shook her up, and then she started to pray at 4. And I'm not going to ask the Lord to stop that. But the Lord said, I will be there with you. And it shook me. I will be there with you. And I can't give anybody else's testimony. I'm just talking about what happened with me. And then we arrived, and that massive weather event, and the Lord was drawing people. I'm telling you, we saw some of these pastors that have been earmarked for leadership in that nation, incredibly talented people, step into a new dimension of desire. The Lord is with us. And I believe that that is the entrance into this joint heir measure, where we're walking with him. And this is what he chose, those thronos of Colossians that are spoken of. We're functioning in those things that are readily spoken of in the scripture. And we need to submit ourselves, recognizing what an honor this is. But we have before us this Ecclesiastes 12 description of what we're supposed to be. The silver cord of our identity in God, connecting heaven to earth, under what is going on at the throne and the right hand of the throne, faith at its purest. We are mentioning this golden bowl. I know that it's that place of thunder, but it could also be this place with a candlestick. The pitcher that dwells, that goes deep down into the wells of the unsearchable riches of God's will. And the wheel that is rolled away. And I was thinking that that same derivative, Galgal, was Golgotha. And how when they had to roll away the stone, it's the same type of a depiction here. And Christ himself, when he rose in the power of the resurrection through the Spirit that quickens your mortal body, he made this available, heaven to earth. And we're the beneficiaries, and we are empowered in this same way. So, I speak blessing over the release of this word. I'm very thankful for this being made a parent to us. Only the Spirit could, in His timing, ignite this. So I believe that with the entrance of the Word, it brings light. And I pray that we will be faithful to serve in whatever of these ways God would ask us to serve. So I declare over us as saints, in presenting us before the Lord, Father, use us in the way You created us to be used. While we're on this earth, don't let us just get by. Let us serve You to the fullest capacity whereby You created us. Help us, Father, to serve those aspects of ministry in the temple of the tabernacle as pillars in that temple. Help us, Father, to see mountains moved as we partner with the angelic, as we serve Your ways. Let us be as oil, as Your sons, that causes Your ways to burn brightly. What an honor that is, my Father. And help us, not only in this place, in the places where we're called to serve, to access the upper gula of water, and to be able to go into the nether places, the places that to where our Lord God would call us. Help this to be. Let us be sensitive to the voice of Your Spirit to peel away those areas of our human existence that might resist this calling. Give us that divine circumcision of heart and of spirit and of mind so that we can be sensitive to You, to function on behalf of the directive of Your Spirit, and to be able to serve You in these ways that Your Scripture so very clearly indicates. Help us. We know the truth. Set us at liberty to serve You in it. So I speak this blessing. I send forth Your word. We love You, Father. We thank You. And we pray that as we enter into this time, this break now, that You will bless Your people. Don't let this word be stolen away. Don't let it engender any confusion. Let it permeate the very fiber of our being. And may we be changed because of the entrance of this word. And may we be ready to move forward on behalf of it. Bring us back for the time of, whether it's presbytery or the prayer time at 3. Help us then to be ready to receive this next measure of teaching on incense. And we're just blessed, Lord. This is an upgrade session. These are upgrade sessions from yesterday to today. Adonai, You're having Your way. You are the Adonai of the whole earth. And we submit ourselves to You, our Father. We love You. We thank You. And we ask all of this in the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.